Man, and soon we're going to have to start thinking about what we're going to do for next year. Next season.
Yeah, holy crap.
That's going up fast.
It is. I can't believe June's almost over already.
Right. Yeah,
this can't be happening.
Then it'll be July.
Then I'll be older. Crap.
So say we all.
Yeah, but your birthday's not in July.
No, it was last month.
That's true.
So I'm already feeling older.
Whatever. I don't want to hear that from you.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And hey, look at that. We almost did an intro.
We still got our little cold open, but we actually said the name of the show before, like, the 20-minute mark.
But it's fun.
True. True. But yeah, so it's you know, been another month, still for the most part in quarantine. Well, less quarantine and more just like be careful outside.
Yeah.
Which is a nice,
be careful,
a nice
use your social distancing.
Yes, social distancing. Wear your masks if you have them, if you're going to be out and about with people.
Yep.
And, you know, overall just be safe.
That's what we really want. Speaking of being safe.
Yeah.
We kept our distance, but man, I was so glad you were able to come over the other week. What was that, 2 weeks ago now? Or 1 week? I don't know.
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. I lose track of time.
Yeah, yeah. It was 2 weekends ago, or not this last weekend, the weekend before.
Yeah.
So when this podcast is released, it will be like mid-June is when this happened. But yeah, I got together with Rick, had the opportunity to swing back by and you guys threw a little surprise for me.
Yes, thanks to your lovely fiance. Say it, Rick, make this happen. Okay,
whom,
yes,
whom
boss.
I love dearly.
So you know, it's funny. I mean, it's a direct result of our last podcast for me anyways, cause we got to play, Dreadball Ultimate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in playing that game, I got to play my Tron Tech. And of course the last episode we had that breakdown from Lee, and talking to you, we did that podcast. I talked a little bit to Jeff Burbage. I had a blast playing the Tron Tech. Like, that's the first,
you
that's
did
the
great
first
job.
Team I had fun playing. Like, I wasn't going, oh, what do I do? Okay, I'll just move this guy over here and do this, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Start with
like,
so
I
many cards.
Like, I knew what I was doing, right? I had no clue.
but to put it in perspective, so this game of Ultimate had, there was five of us, right?
Yeah.
All told. And so we were basically just short one shot, one person for the whole thing. It was a little late in the evening, so we did start it a little further down,
we added 2 points each,
just 2 points each. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it actually went really well. I think, did we get to the third round?
I think it was the third round that I won in.
Yeah. So it was an absolute blast, and it came on as a piggyback to the first thing we actually did, because for my bachelor party, of course, what do? We play games.
And what better way to spend the bachelor party?
Yeah. And the game we started with was Star Saga.
Yeah. So one of the things that was awesome about playing that game, because so we did not retake the Black Star. It was
the Devil's Betrayal.
Devil's Betrayal. Now, for everybody listening, do not play the Devil's Betrayal and read everything if you want to, like, stay to the story and play all the way through the Ares contract.
Yes.
Because, like, you started talking, and it was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, the opening section starts really laying out what happens at the end of the Ares contract.
Talk about some spoilers.
And so I stopped reading, like, halfway through. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to skip ahead. Let's assume that things just didn't go great. And because we're collectively, like, I don't think I've ever made it past the third mission, but not through the fourth.
Correct.
When the Rangers start showing up.
Yeah.
Spoilers, I guess. But it's fun. We haven't gotten that far in our own little mini campaign. And so it was fun though, because one of the big things with the Devil's Betrayal is that the enemies that you are fighting are Rebs.
And guess, out of our little group, who got to play the Nexus? I wonder.
Woo, go Rebs! And I'll preface this by saying I'm not a great Nexus player. Like, there was many times where it was like, how do I do these again? And I'm missing the little, like, blocks of text that I was supposed to read. And it's like, okay, I suppose I should actually give you guys context of what you're actually doing and looking for.
Sure.
Yeah, at some point. Halfway through the mission.
I did think it was cool that I actually pulled the Dreadball card.
Yes, so...
to go play a game of Dreadball. I thought that was awesome.
That was pretty great. So, like, it's a little spoiler because it's specific in the book, but one of the things you can get in that first mission for the Devil's Betrayal is like a Dreadball vidcast, and basically the card says the mercenaries can take bets, go play a Dreadball game and come back, and that mercenary gets those credits
for the next mission,
which was so cool. It's fun. But yeah, and then you bet on yourself and you won.
Yeah. You know, I'm still taken back by the fact that I actually won. But, I mean, it definitely goes to tell you that with a game like Dreadball, because of the rules committee, those guys and their bread doll. Yeah, their webpage with all of their articles and talking to them and getting on the website. And then also the Fanatics groups. If you want to play a specific team, reach out, talk to some people, find out what's their strength and what their weakness is and what's the best way to play them. Because it gives you a serious overlying overview of how they play. And you can run with that and actually be successful. Taking like the stupid amount of teams I now have and just the Tron Tech, there's nothing fancy about them, but because of what we did last episode and talking to Lee and Jeff, it actually made sense to me for a change.
Yeah. And that's, I know I mentioned it on a previous episode, and I'll probably say it again in the future, but Dreadball is one of those games where it really helps to try out a couple teams. If you're kind of struggling to you know, be successful or things just aren't quite matching up to your play style, you know, odds are there's a team out there for you just waiting to play. Yeah. Put me in, coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's cool that you found one that I think you'll get to enjoy a bit more.
Yeah, I'll definitely get some play out of that one that I'll be super happy about. So it's funny. So we jumped at Dreadball just because we did that we did a little bachelor party, so obviously Star Saga and Dreadball is what we ended up playing. I so wanted to play Dead Zone.
Right.
I really wanted to get my plague on the table. I have no idea how they're going to perform.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was kind of funny because, like, I made that list based off of, essentially off of your lists.
Right.
To create this plague thing. So I'm going dark with how to play it. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea how this stuff's going to interact. Which, so every episode we do this unit highlight. And specifically we're talking about leaders.
Yeah.
So we're talking about it, and we're like, okay, we did this one, we did this one, we did this one. So we have this, this, and this that we need to talk about. So which one should we talk about? And obviously I threw out Nameless because I thought about it. And when Nameless first came out, I played a couple games as the Nameless. But we really haven't, like, dove in and played a lot of Nameless.
No, it is one of those things where it's mostly our group. I know there are quite a few people that, you know, really, really like the Nameless, like the aesthetic and everything, the crustacean-y kind of feel to it.
And we do, I mean, we do have some guys that really like the Nameless. We just haven't had a chance to play a lot of games against them.
Or play with them. Mine's stellar.
Well,
I've got a lot of teams that are not painted yet. But
It doesn't help that we have as much Star Saga as we have.
Right.
Well, of course, because of how much Star Saga we have, yes, we have the Nameless in bulk. But I have noticed that a lot of times when people are posting that they're playing the Nameless and whatnot, generally speaking, a lot of people run the Psychotroid. Like, that seems to be, like, the leader that's out there the most.
Yeah, I'd say I've seen a fair number of those.
It's that whole psychic and just hide kind of boss. But I thought it would be really cool if we went over, this time, we went over the Blight.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go through the stats. Give us a rundown of the stats, and then we'll get into it, especially with the Splat. Because I haven't made any lists specifically with the Blight, but even after just kind of going over it and thinking about it a little bit, there's a lot of melee opportunity there. So the Blight is 32 points, 3 victory points, has a 1-2 movement, 1 armor, and is a size 2. Shoots on a 5, fights on a 4, survives on a 4, has Tactician 1, Resilience 1, and tough. So before we move into the other things, I just want to refresh that. Has an armor 1, has resilience 1, and has tough.
And survives on 4s.
It survives on 4s. I think this guy would give our Brocker a run for our money. weapon choices has the Ravenous Maw, Range 5 AP 2, Frenzy 1, and the Corrosive Blast. Range 3, AP 1, and has It Burns. It Burns. It's one of those, here, I'm going to hit you. Oh, I didn't do any damage to you? Okay, we'll wait until next turn.
Yeah, we'll go into a bit on It Burns, because that's another one of those abilities, like Fire for Effect, that people, I think, don't see the power of it right away.
Right away, yeah, it doesn't, like, pop out of there. It's like, oh, that's really powerful. But if you build something around It Burns, the Blight, I think, is the perfect thing. Because, so, we're looking at a Splat. Caustic Spittle. Spend an army special result to allow the active model to perform a free shoot action with a range 2, It Burns. If the active model has no shoot stat, it can still make a range attack with it. With this army special result, using a shoot stat of 7+. And then rounded out, the Blight has a Recon 5. So that's the breakdown of the stats. So let's talk about that Caustic Spittle.
Yeah.
actually, real quick, can you pull up It Burns?
Yeah.
Do you have your core there?
I can bring it up on my computer here. Because they've got that rule book out for free now, everybody.
Yeah.
Which, again, to reiterate, Mantic is a really awesome company for putting a lot of these rules up for people to check.
They
out
have and... done. They've done a great job over this whole lockdown. Mm-hmm. I feel, and like they've been a lot more involved in the community, I think, like the Facebook groups, which is awesome to see. I really hope that once everything starts really opening back up, mm-hmm. And things go in the direction of normalcy, because there's no going back to normal and there's no new normal as far as I'm concerned. But when things go back to normalcy, mm-hmm. With trade and traffic and everything between the UK and the US and all over the place, I think and I hope that the guys over at Mantic, it's a very small crew of guys, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but I hope they continue their new push, I guess, on Facebook. And on Instagram and on Twitter.
Awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. So did you get that It Burns Up?
Yes, I did.
So, all right. So
our intrepid listeners, we are on page 31 of the Dead Zone second edition core rulebook. All right, so now for the audiobook version.
Sorry, I just had the whole concept of like aliens and somebody listening to their audiobook and a whole bunch of creepy aliens busting in on them.
Oh jeez.
Thanks for that visual.
Yeah So It Burns! Exclamation mark. The weapon unleashes indiscriminate sheets of flame, acid, or similar lethal concoctions. It Burns weapons attacks every model in the same cube as the primary target, regardless of which side they are on, whether they are visible or whether they are invisible to the shooter. Choose one visible model as the primary target and roll for the attack with no modifiers. Roll survive separately for each model in the target cube and compare each individually to the attack roll to see the result. Whatever the result of the attack, even if it misses, all models in the target cube are set on fire. Mark them with a flame counter. In reality, the weapon fires great gouts of flame that fills the cube and even near misses set things alight. If a model is on fire when it is activated, then its first action must be to attempt to put out the fire. This is a free special action that the model must take, but will not count towards its normal action limit with this activation. It is worked out as follows. The fire slash flames. Roll a 3 dice 4 plus test, and it's an opposed test. The target rolls a 3 dice survival test against that, and on a draw or survive has more successes, the target puts out the flames before they do any real damage. The target may continue any remaining actions as normal, but if the fire and flames have more successes, the target manages to put out the flames and is no longer on fire, but suffers damage in the process. The potential damage is equal to the difference in total successes and resolved at AP1. The model's activation ends immediately. So, a little bit of a lengthy one, but...
It's a lengthy one, but the gist of it is... It can be nasty. I mean, you're looking at... So I shoot you. I have AP1.
Mm-hmm.
With It Burn. So I can potentially do a damage to you. I mean, let's use one of my favorite things to kill. A Reb Soldier. So I potentially do a damage to you. Let's say I get one through. Mm-hmm. So you're wounded.
Yep.
But now you're also on fire. So on your activation, when you activate him, if you fail at putting out that fire,
rolling sixes
you're
on that
dead.
Survive test.
Exactly. That would be kind of why I said that. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's also it's
on,
everybody
on
in that
turn.
Cube. Yeah.
And so my activation then ends, and it goes back to you.
Yeah. And that's everybody in the cube.
Mm-hmm.
So you take those like zombies. Zombies a great one because they have the horde.
Yeah.
So they're going to horde up on you. You know they're coming. Screw it. Burn everybody.
It is a great crowd control weapon. Like if a lot of people take scatter things for crowd control, but yeah. It burns goes a long way for, you know, a lot of the forces that use a horde tactic. The one downside with a lot of the flamethrower options is the range is typically pretty short. So you have to be right up on top of them.
Right on top of them, and you got to get in face.
But honestly, that's a really fair trade-off
for
how strong it burns is.
So you have, so let's say you got two guys in a cube. I run an inker up on you. So what's the advantage of the inker? Okay, so with the inker, I want you to kill me anyways.
Yep.
Because I have an ink sack, so all of a sudden I'm gonna have a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up really close to you, and I can use that splat to shoot at you, even though they don't have a shoot stat, because I can shoot on a 7.
Yeah.
What's the worst that's gonna happen? I'm gonna get myself into position for where I want to drop an ink sack anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I take a chance and fire this, it burns at you. Maybe I get you. Well, that's both the guys in the cube have it burns on them.
Yeah.
So the next turn comes and you activate one of those guys and say he survives. But because you're the vengeful type, you decide to kill my anchor. Oh, guess what? Ink sack.
Yep. And that guy still succeed.
Yeah, so you have one guy on fire. I have my ink sack that I can move my melee up in without you being able to shoot me and set up for a really nasty melee.
And like, Nameless, I think it's safe to say their strong suit is their melee.
Oh, yeah.
They have a handful of shooting options, but, you know, their best shoot stat is a 4+ on a Living Legend. So, yeah,
Project Oberon.
Yep. Otherwise, you're looking at fives.
Fives.
which is, you know, fine. I mean, that's a Reb Trooper for you. So
that's true.
You can still do damage with fives and not poo-pooing that. But like you're saying, you can really then take advantage of, you know, using a free shot to set people on fire. Disrupt their plans a bit, because it's one of those things where I think when people that don't play with fire, when they get lit up, suddenly there's like a whoa, wait, I'm on fire.
Yeah, there's that step back of going, oh, these guys have a little bit more tricks than I was prepared for.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it burns. So, like, there is that potential to do damage. But this is actually a tactic I've seen and employed to disrupt big bads that you don't like, that you have no way of dealing with, per se, like, from a killing stance. For instance, sure. Iron Ancestors. Tough to kill, yeah. Right? They're, you know... Armor 4, size 4, ginormous turrets, you know, walking gun tracks. They're really hard to kill. But you can set them on fire, and if they fail their survive test, which you're going to be rolling fours against, let me see if I can flip to Forge Fathers real quick. I think it's is it fives for their survive, or is it fours?
I think he survives on a 5. Could be wrong.
Meth Forge Fathers survives on 5s. So yep. It's 4s versus 5s. And, you know, you could throw some modifiers in, but otherwise it's a straight roll.
Yep.
You don't have to do damage to them. You just have to win the test.
Suddenly, you win the test. You've locked them down for a turn.
Yeah. So that's a great way to disrupt things that are really difficult, you know, that have like solid, right? So solid, yep. You can't pin. Well, you can set them on fire and potentially take their turn.
Yeah, and that's a serious dampener. I mean, you think about it, when you have that big, the Iron Ancestor, the Strider, you have your, enforcer with specialist with a missile launcher. all these very specific, your Territon, the Reb's Territon, the tunnel runner for Veerman, all these big nasties that you have, when you play them, when you move them, you have a very specific thing in mind that you're doing with those, especially those big nasties, because they do something and they do it very well.
And a lot of people build their plans around that big nasty.
So, yeah, I mean, and you put your big nasty in a place where you're getting ready to do something, and I come up and I burn it.
With a troop.
Yeah, with a little troop.
With a little trooper.
Potentially. And you fail it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You fail that, you lose your turn on that big guy, so that's disrupted your entire plan.
Yeah.
So you have your opponent on that scramble. Like, oh, okay, well, now what do I do?
And if they're out in the open, you know. So So, like you're saying, to kind of bring it back to the Blight here. So with this splat, basically you can just, you know, set cubes on fire with the simplest troop, the simplest units. And like you're saying, it'll hinder them. Typically, you know, it kind of hits into like a 50-50, you know, if it's going to do what you kind of hope it to do. But it really can be that turning point, because if nothing else, it will, you know, when my stuff gets set on fire, I'm always going like, oh man, you know, it's the same kind of thing like you have with Rampage, right? You're like, oh man, this could go incredibly poorly for me very easily. So it's like, do I want to activate this guy right now?
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic of how you're playing, which is where it comes into that whole strategy of playing the Blight. You want to build to, because you're good, obviously with the Blight, you're going melee.
Yeah.
Most of Nameless is melee anyways, but the Blight specifically as a leader, you're definitely going to be heavy melee. So you're going to use tricks to disrupt your opponent and put yourself in a position where you can do the most damage without your opponent having anything to go up against it.
I just had the fun idea, because sometimes it's fun to light your own guys on fire. So like,
talk up like a real Reb.
Yeah. so like that's another thing too, like as far as like a combo that could be really useful, is you get a big guy in place, and he, you know, maybe like you got an ogre in there or like a Ferromite. It's a little bit bigger, a little tougher, but he's outnumbered. Set the cube on fire, right? It'll disrupt the other guys. It might knock out your dude, but it gives you the opportunity to bring somebody else in, and potentially have not only the other guys wounded, from the fire, potentially.
Oh, I see where you're going with on this. I don't like you anymore.
But also, you now have a big buddy, so you get the friend bonus, the charge-in bonus.
Yep. You know,
and then, you know, just for fun, make it an inker so he pops and it's in. And so, you know, it's those fun combinations, and especially with things like say you had, let's go with the Ferromite, because the Ferromite is size 2. So it's not as big as, say, the Ogre. But it does come with a defender shield.
Yeah.
And so that defender shield could help protect your guys from the fire, potentially.
Yep.
Or at least from taking damage from it.
Yeah. So. You might still lose a turn on that guy, but who cares? That's not really what they're there for.
Mm-hmm. And then, like we've kind of been saying, all this attention then comes onto that cube, it's like, oh, there's so much activity that, you know, your opponent now has to pay attention to. Gives you a good opportunity to circumvent and get your guys around and into position. And man, it's just a free shoot action. Like, any time you can use a free shoot action is like a good day.
Free? I'm in. That's kind of what it boils down to, is free? I'm in. I'm sold.
Yeah. And he's the second most expensive unit, but the leaders for Nameless like are pretty evenly spread points wise. Recon 5.
Every one of
them is
really strong.
Yeah. Recon 5 is all right. Tactician 1, so you got 4 command dice.
Yep.
Typically, tough and resilient is just an evil combo on top of already having armor.
Yeah, armor, tough, resilient. Yeah, don't mess with me. He's definitely not your commando. He's not your psychotroid. He's one that can survive that fight.
So, I'm just checking out some other things here. So he's got some weapon options too.
Yeah.
So he's got heavy assault, which in this case could come in the form of corrosive bile ducts, volatile it burns, and heavy. Range 3, AP 1. Could be fun. But since he already has it burns and a range 3 weapon, might not need it. It's one of those things where you can't really tell, like, if he's got arms free. Since...
yeah.
Since he's got... it looks like the blaster is just on his wrist, and then it's his mouth. So presumably he's got another arm that's free.
Well, yeah, and you could put massive claws on him, which bumps it up to an AP 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Or razor claws, make him frenzy too.
He has light assault, right?
Yep, light melee and light assault.
Oh man, the boy could have shoulder-mounted phasers.
Yeah, way to fire one.
Range 6, AP 1, way to fire one. He's a tank.
Mm-hmm.
My god, he's a tank.
So, yeah.
And then deck him out with an energy shield. Why not?
Why not?
Because the two of us have a tendency to put all our basket eggs in the same basket. Because that's smart.
Yeah, why not?
But like, sure!
Like, even though he's a little bit more expensive, like, if you flesh out the rest of your list with, like we're saying, maybe focus on Inkers and Scuttlers for your troops...
which opens up a ton of your specialists.
Because they're super cheap. They're 8 points apiece. You could add a gunslinger in there with twin pistols, but your range is still really short with them.
Yeah.
So you might be better served with this combination to do, like we're saying, the Inkers and the Scuttlers. And really just kind of take advantage of the ability to pin down, essentially, your opponents with fire, and then run up on them while they're ablaze. And then flush it out with, like, an assassin, you know, with a 2-3 movement,
Carotid. Isn't it carotid?
Yeah, it is. I just like
saying carotid.
And then, you know, there's really nothing wrong with burning, like, say, riflemen. To kind of be your bit more of a supporting, you know, range 10 rifle. Man, this guy shoot far with the tricyclic shield or shards.
Yeah. And you know, it's cool too, because you play off of this and you jump over and you listen to Rob, Jack, and Coach with their award winning team building experiences. With them, with their nameless lists. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you could do with the nameless. Yes, they're heavy melee centric team.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they don't have tricks. Case in point, Blight with it burns. I think it's a great utility.
Mm-hmm.
I think it falls in the category for me. I really do. I think it falls in the category of Brian's drones.
Yeah.
Because you take something that everybody overlooks and you do something nasty with, like, give a drone a defender shield.
I mean, they can carry them.
It's just, I love that they can
carry them.
Yes, a few of us know that. Quite well. So yeah, that I think that puts us on our, wow. So we have, it's June.
We're recording in June. This will be July, end of June's episode.
So we have, what, 2 more months? 3 more months?
I think this would be, I think we have 2 more months.
Yeah.
July. August, because September is when we took over.
So what are we going to do in September?
Wake me up when it ends. Green Day. No, we should we'll have to do something special.
I think we bugged the heck out of Robin Jack.
I think so too.
I think we should get them on for the 1 year anniversary of the two of us doing this podcast.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be a blast. I mean, I'd love to say that let's convince them to come down, but we don't know what the border situation is going to be.
Yeah.
What any of that's going to be.
It'll still be 2020, and, you know, the murder hornets are, I think, we're still active here in June. I hear there's a desert storm coming across from Africa that's likely the mummy. Like, you know, it's
the 7 plagues and the mummy. You know what? I think I'm going to stick in my basement and just play some Dead Zone and Star Saga and maybe a couple games of Dreadball.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. Speaking of Dreadball, I have noticed they're for those that maybe are not as active on the Dreadball Fanatics Facebook page, I definitely, if you're not of the Facebook persuasion, definitely understand. I would once again plug the Dreadball Discord channel.
Yeah.
They have been doing and setting up a lot of leagues, like championship leagues that are being played online either by a tabletop simulator
or Vassal.
Vassal, yeah. Those are the two big ones right now. And which is really cool. I know we were talking to a friend of the show, Adam Kine, yep. Who was really looking into the tabletop simulator side of things. And it sounds pretty awesome over there.
Well, yeah, because he's been getting some Kings of War games in with the virtual system for that. You know, more power to you. I just can't do the online video game thing anymore. I think part of that is because I switched from video games to miniatures and board games, and I want the dice in my hand.
yeah, there's definitely, I think I'm in the same boat. There's definitely something about the minis that I painted up, you know, that I can then kind of complain at and say, why did you roll 3 ones? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, my Reb Dreadball captain, why did you drop the ball 4 times?
4 times? In the middle of a ridiculous amount of people.
It was open. Like, I was going for the league points. But that reminds
me, we really
need to do our campaign again.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about that. So I think it would be great, and I kind of hinted at it with Adam, about getting the guys up there. So Mount Pleasant is 1 hour away from me, what, 1.5 hours away from you now?
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really cool to have, like, even if we do small, so we keep with the social distancing, we keep with all of the needed steps. Mm-hmm. With scheduling our time in the game shop once they open. But we get it like just four or five of us down here and four or five of them up there. And we have two leagues going on simultaneously. And we do the same thing that football does, mm-hmm. i.e. American football with the pigskin and all that stuff.
with the MMC North and the MMC South.
Exactly. I think that would be awesome. And we can have those non league games. No, they're league games, but they don't count towards the playoffs or whatever. However mm-hmm. that works. I don't know. I'll tell you what, you talk to your soon to be wife and I'll talk to my wife because both of them, I think, know far more about football than either of us.
Yeah.
Well, at least my wife does when it comes to MSU.
Both versions of football, too, in my case.
In your case, both versions. Mine's only one. But I know that there's something that you can play out of league games, because football does it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then we could do that championship and actually have the MMC championship be between the North and the South.
I really like that idea.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the favorite things for me when you came over, when we did that little surprise, we're just going to play board games,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that it was the OG crew.
Yeah.
So obviously you were at my first demo.
Mm-hmm.
The next person with us was Dom.
Yep.
And then a couple demos and a couple games later, we met up with Adam through the Dead Zone. Yeah, the Dead Zone Fanatics group. And that's what started us down this crazy road.
Mm-hmm.
That's led to the point of us actually almost a year into a podcast.
And your hatred of Asterians, but that's another topic I'll leave out for.
Rob, I'm so sorry! I love the new model! You just had to say that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. but no, it was an absolute blast getting together with all those guys and getting some good games in.
And I think that's, again, I mean, that's why we took over, I guess, the podcast. Because we still have that strong desire for Dead Zone and Saga and Dreadball. And Rob and Jack knew that. Not to speak for them, but in all the conversations we've had, they wanted to move on to other things. They wanted to have some other things. And, like obviously, I mean, you're on another podcast with Rob.
Yep.
Mobile Armor Radio. There, I plugged it for you.
Mobile Armor Radio. We'll talk about giant robots.
Like the new Asterian robot. Rob, it's so awesome. Because, yeah, Rob's never going to let me live that down either.
Ironically, I will not be on this episode or the newest episode of Mobile Armor Radio because...
I wonder why.
Schedule conflicts.
Just slightly. So one of the other things that we had thought about doing on this podcast was actually going to read an article from Dreadball. I think, unfortunately, because of timing, we're not going to be able to read it and go through it. But I think that's something that we should do going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people just, they don't do the blogs anymore. They don't like to go read the blogs. Yeah. Some people don't do the Facebook thing. So there's multiple different avenues for getting this information out there. And I think because Dreadball has such good information, I'd like to go start going through some of their stuff and reading their stuff for people and then linking it in our podcast.
Absolutely. Like, they've got so many articles. The category is Pitch Protocols. Is where we're mostly going to be pulling from, which is their main section on strategies and ways to play the game. So feel free to jump ahead, our eager listeners, if you'd like to. And then it'll be really redundant what we have to say. But it's definitely worth it. Like there's just great content these guys have put together. And, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier to read something a couple times to like, oh, okay, now I get it. Or like, you know, some people, like you're saying, you know, maybe it'll just take that person to go, okay, this is what we mean by this. You know, this is how that strategy plays out. You know, we've played a couple of games with it, and this is how, you know, this is what we found. A lot of great stuff ahead.
Yeah, including some of that 3v3 stuff.
Mm-hmm. We definitely need to get that in.
So I think with that, actually, we should wrap it up, because I know you're super busy this week.
Yeah, a little busy. It's kind of crazy to think that time has kind of flown.
Yeah, just wait until Friday, sir.
Yeah, that'll be... Oh, this whole week is going to be that way.
Yeah, so I think you win. So... 2003, when Val and I got married, we had that whole blackout that knocked out pretty much the entire East Coast. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That knocked out everything? Yeah, that was the week of our wedding.
Huh.
Yeah. I had one of my ushers in Minneapolis stuck at the airport, and my best man was stuck in Seattle.
Oof.
It was crazy. My wife was unfortunately stuck in the car with my sister-in-law and my mother, and my mother has panic attacks.
Oh, dear.
And they were on the south side of Lansing. Yeah, that was scary when she got home. But I think the fact that you're getting married in 2020, you kind of win.
I like a challenge.
You do. You are a Reb.
but yeah. Well, thanks so much on that front.
Yeah. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you for listening again. We've had a lot of fun. Sometimes it really is just the two of us going back and forth talking about some random things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, stay safe out there. Keep listening to people that know what they're talking about. And, you know, sometimes that's us.
That's a very, 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 very small percentage of that's actually us. But just for the record, I also want to tell everybody, keep rolling eights, because I miss Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler, we miss you. We didn't get to see you at Adepticon.
Isn't there a reason you need to come to Michigan again? Okay,
to visit us. I think that's yes. Reason enough.
Come to Michigan GT.
Yes.
Saying.
I hope that one makes it.
So it's looking like it's still a strong possibility.
Good.
There's still stuff being worked out as far as details on the amount of people that you can have, all that. But the guys that run the GT are very much so involved in figuring out what's going to be the best for them. And for all the players, but as of right now, they have not canceled.
Gotcha. Well, we'll keep you guys posted on that front.
Yes. Can we be any more sidetracked with everything?
I mean, technically yes, but I think that's a good stopping point. All right, everyone, have a good night.
Oh, I thought we already did that part.
Probably. We'll see where I decide to cut it.